Welcome to the Drama Dialogues, Life and Relationships Unraveled. I'm Jenny and I'm here to empower you on an exhilarating journey. Together we'll navigate the twists and turns of everyday dramas with practical tips and engaging stories so you can have a powerful day every day. Get ready to embrace healthier relationships, effective communication and personal growth. Join me as we unravel the mysteries of life's dramas and share a few laughs along the way. Get ready to ditch the chaos and embrace the magic. This is the Drama Dialogues. Hello, everybody. So I often, as you now know, get referred people for podcasts. And the lovely Ian Pownall, who was on my podcast last year talking about why phone calls make him feel sick, gave me a message and said, you have to speak to this woman. She's amazing. And funnily enough, she was actually already on my radar to speak to because I'd seen her on LinkedIn and what she does is actually amazing. We're going to talk to about that today. So welcome, Emma. Your company is The Sixth House and you do fine line tattooing and also medical tattooing. So we're going to dive really into it, but it's great to have you on the show today.
Ah, thank you very much for having me. I feel very special.
You are very special. You really are very special. So Emma just said, oh my God, Jenny, I've got to confess, but I've just come off 4 night shifts. So Emma is a nurse. She's in the respiratory department in the hospital and there is a flu epidemic going on at the moment. And she is on the front line helping everybody.
Yes. So as you can imagine, there's staff off sick. There's an influx of patients and we're just doing our best to keep up. I'm not saying that it's as bad as COVID, but it's spreading like wildfire. So everybody wash your hands, stay safe, stay warm. You know the gist.
I was just saying, I had the 2 weeks before Christmas, I was really poorly and it was flu. Because I said to Matt, oh, my dad's got my cold, because I kindly gave it to my 78-year-old dad. And he said, Jenny, you didn't have the cold, you had a flu. I was like, oh yeah, I did. But it is a case of you just have to drink lots of fluids. We were having double doses of Barocca and we were night nursing at night and all the things. And so I had it for about a week, but it does wipe you out.
100%. I mean, respiratory, quite literally, pardon the pun, is what I live and breathe. And it's all I've ever really known as my speciality. And oh my God, there's an angel number. I've just looked. Sorry, 1111. Sorry. Respiratory is what I've lived and breathed for a long time. And besides COVID, this is the worst that I've ever seen flu. So I'm not trying to scaremonger, nothing like that. But just, you know, if you have got something like this, stay at home, because it really, it genuinely does save lives and it saves people being off work sick. If you can work from home, work from home, but it's wiping people out. And this is even the spring chickens, never mind the 50, 60, 70, 80 year olds that are accustomed to it as well.
Yeah. So on that joyful start, stay safe, everybody. But Emma, you're in the midst of a massive transition at the moment.
Yes.
And you're going from a healthcare career into medical tattooing.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Different, right? So to tell you about it, what it is that I do, it's completely niche, which is amazing for me as a business owner. But because of what it is that I do, it's hard to get the word out about it. So what I specialize in is areola tattooing. So for any men that don't know what an areola tattoo is, it's the area around the nipple that's a different color to the rest of the breast. And for ladies and gentlemen that have lost their breasts to mastectomy, so whether that be through cancer, through gender transitioning or through the BRCA gene, I actually tattoo realistic breasts back on post mastectomy. And I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but it looks pretty good. Like, it's really good. And I also do something called scar camouflage, which is The best way that I can describe it over audio is it's kind of like a tattooed foundation on this on your scar to make it blend in.
Oh, wow. That sounds
So
awesome. So what sort of what's who will come to you for that then?
amazingly, I actually had one of my patients from maybe 3 or 4 years ago. This is just an example here. From 3 or 4 years ago that I cared for in the hospital, and I am that naughty nurse that it's frowned upon that you stay in touch with patients. But from working in an area like HDU, where you are almost one-to-one-ing with a patient, and you can sometimes spend months with patients, it is inevitable that you create some form of bond or relationship because you see them go from sick to better, etc. And I stayed in touch with this chap because he just had a bit of a profound, I really resonated with him, and he'd been in a car accident and ended up having something called a tracheostomy in, which for anyone that doesn't know where that what that is, it's where we medically make a hole inside the trachea in the neck. You might have seen it on like Casualty and things, to make a new airway because the airway above that, like your mouth and your nose, is not working correctly. So I
Matt's
cared
had
for
one.
him. Yeah, really?
Yeah, he was in a coma when he was quite young, so he had it for about 3 months, I think.
Oh my God. You would have never have even known.
No, he's
This feels
very
great.
tender around his neck. So when we first started dating, he would get really kind of he would flinch quite a lot if I went towards that area. So and I was like, oh, what's going on? And then he explained why. So I'm very cautious around that area. And we went and we have talked about this before on the podcast, but we went on a really intense kind of mindset weekend. It was more about money mindset, but he had to do the well, he didn't have to. We were tasked with breaking an arrow with our neck. And I was sat there going, you can't do this. Like, you're not doing it. And he eventually would turn around and went, will you shut up? I'm going to do it because I was freaking him out. So it was right on his tracheotomy area where he had to do this arrow. So yes, I know more about it than I perhaps would have a few years ago.
Oh, bless him. I would have had no idea. But so went through this whole debacle of caring for somebody with a trachea in to then him coming to see me for me to cover up this scar that was on his neck. So talk about 100, like I can't, like 360 moment there of being able to do that for somebody. And we were both completely in tears, like while we were doing about it, do whilst we were doing it, because he was telling me about all of the things that he dreamed about when he was in a coma. I wonder if Matt's actually
Yeah, he
mentioned
did.
some of the stuff that like patients have been in comas, and then once they're awake and they tell you about these dreams, it's really bizarre. But him relaying all this back to me, we were both sat there in tears. And Andy is the most like is a big hunch guy with he's smothered in tattoos. You just wouldn't expect, like he's a biker, you just wouldn't expect him to open up as much as what he did. And the appointment normally only takes about 30 minutes. It took us a good couple of hours because it was almost like talking therapy for not just him, but for me as well. So that's something that I do is I cover up the scars and try and also heal someone on the inside as well. So it can be any sort of scar. It can
Yeah,
be.
well, I was thinking about thyroid. I haven't I had thyroid issue, but I haven't had my thyroid removed. But lots of people have big thyroid scars from removals. So I imagine that would be, and also self-harm scars and
Self-harm
things.
scars, acne, stretch marks, vitiligo. I do all sorts, and it's like I think the treatment is amazing. It's not something that's available on the NHS, but I think it's also not well known that this
No.
is also a treatment as well, which again, lucky for me that it's so niche, but at the same time, how am I spreading the word about it? It's really quite it's quite hard, but yeah, really, really, really rewarding. But I can sort of do it on more or less anything, really.
Yeah, no, that's really amazing. So as a parent of a self-harmer, it is hard to see your child with those sorts of scars and think, you know, what happens in the future? And something like that for me as a parent, I'm like, oh my goodness, there is potentially an answer in the future years. And I mean, they're doing really, really well. So last self-harm was over 8 months ago. It was probably 9 or 10 months ago now. But you know, when as a parent looking at that, you're kind of going, oh my goodness, how is that going to stay with them in the future? But actually, just even this 5 minute conversation has given me a glimmer of hope as a parent that something can actually be done about it.
Yeah, that's so nice to hear. And I'm just going to say, if you, it's on me. If you ever want the treatment done, it's on me. Like, please come to me
So,
and please trust me.
this is another thing we're going to talk about today, Emma, with regards to
Boundaries.
business. Because you do a lot of work for free.
I do. It's just the way that I've been. I think it's just the way that I've been brought up, to be honest.
So your business model is quite interesting at the moment, and you know there are going to have to be changes at some point in the future, but because you what you're doing is important and nursing is important, but doing both and spreading yourself so thinly is going to impact your own health and probably is already. And so this has to be sorted. But currently, a lot of it is funded by Fine Line Tattoos, which are for people who, you know, want to go and get a tattoo. So tell us
Yes.
about that.
So fine line tattooing, the way that I can explain this for anybody that doesn't know what it is a normal conventional tattoo. So I'm talking like the ones that go a bit thick over time. The difference is the needle. The size of the needle. They're very pretty designs, ones that are really delicate, and I think for women they look really cute. And I've had like conventional tattoos and stuff in the past, and I wish that fine line tattooing was a thing when I had mine done. So mine never blur, they don't go horrible, and I design them all myself. I literally sit and draw for ages. I'm inspired by everything. I love doing flowers, animals, words of affirmation, that's my kind of thing. But it's really taken off. I did the fine line tattooing a long time ago, actually prior to doing any of the areola and scar camouflage, because I just wanted to see really if I would be a dab hand with a tattoo machine. Because the amount of money that I've spent on all it like inv no invested in all of these
Yes.
different courses and things that I've been on, because I have done so much. I didn't want to invest that much money if actually I was going to go on a course and pick up a tattoo machine and be no good with it. So yeah, fine line is something that I've done for a while, and it seems to have really, really taken off. And as much as I probably don't charge enough for my fine line tattoos at the minute, at the moment it covers my overheads, which I know it sounds silly and I need boundaries with it, but that's what's that I'm I, it sounds silly, but that's what's making me happy at the moment, is that I can even pay my overheads so that I
Yeah, so
can do the areola and scar for free.
you've got a purpose and you've got a mission,
Yeah.
and it's and lots of people li out there listening to this will be resonating, like if especially if they're running their own business or they want to start running their own business, because they'll be going, how does this even work? How do the maths work? From a coaching perspective, so many coaches charge nothing because they want to save people and you know give them a good life,
Yeah.
and that's what you want to do too. I so my daughter had her first tattoo literally the week she turned 18, and I was like, oh God. But a few weeks after that, we were sat in Canada with my cousins, and they are late 20s, early 30s, and they're all covered in fine line tattoos. And I could see both my girls going, oh, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't have a tattoo at all. I've got none. So I was like, oh crap, I'm in trouble now. And then, so she turned 18 in July and she's had three since July.
I feel like they're so addictive. There's one girl that came to me sort of the first week that I started advertising that I was doing fine line, and she's been back nearly every week, and she's sort of got like a patchwork sleeve, which is amazing, of all my little designs covered all over her arm, and she comes to me every week. But there must be something addictive about it.
There is, for
I've
sure.
never, there's got to be. But they're
It's the
just so
dopamine
good
hit, though.
as well.
It's dopamine hit. You know, it's that's why people self-harm. That's why they cut themselves. Whereas if you can have a tattoo, it's more socially acceptable now to have a tattoo than it is to cut yourself. So people go
Yeah.
and have tattoos.
No, I agree, absolutely. But I really enjoy doing it. I love the whole process of somebody sending me an idea. Like I did a really beautiful one just before Christmas, which was a do you know how each month has a birth flower?
Yep.
So we did somebody's birth flower alongside a robin in memory of their grandma. So like it was really, really beautiful. And yeah, I love little intentional, like, you know, tattoos that mean something. I've got some really crap. I've not got many, that mine are pretty hidden, to be honest with you. But the ones that I do have got meaning. Do
Yeah.
you get what I mean? I like when tattoos have meaning because at the end of the day, they're on you forever, aren't they?
Yep.
But I just find that because I can, it's silly, but I know that because it's paying my overheads, I seem to be happy enough. But I'm very excited to share that this morning when I finished my night shift has been my first week as a part-time nurse. I worked Monday, Tuesday night this week. I'm done now till next week. So I really
Awesome.
need some boundaries in place with actually upping my prices because I've now,
You've got to
if I
pay for
can
it,
now
pay
save
for
this.
life.
Yeah.
A question came straight into my head and went straight back out again.
He's all right.
It'll come back to me. What was the kind of moment where you went, right, I'm gonna stop nursing at some point in the future. I'm gonna start this as a business.
I guess this one's a little bit different to why I started it, but but the point where I was like, you know what, I'm doing this. Is I went through a really rocky patch October 2023, and I honestly don't share this often, but I had the only way I can describe it is like a spiritual awakening. And those that get it, and those that don't, unless you've been through it. I don't expect that you would understand it, but I just felt like I didn't know what my purpose was anymore. I felt like I was doing this amazing job in serving people and being kind and giving back to people, everything that sort of like mum and dad could only ever wish for. I was doing this really good service, but I'm thinking, I can't work 12 and a half hours because I work permanent nights. I can't do this forever. Like, I'm 30. Well, at the time, I was like 29. I'm thinking, I cannot do this for the rest of my life. I see my partner that's working Monday to Friday. He's got a really amazing work-life balance. There's got to be more to life than doing four or five night shifts a week, being called in for extra shifts. There's got to be more than this. And that's sort of what led me to being like, right, I'm gonna, for that question as to what made me decide that that's what I would, that I was going to step away from nursing and start my business. That's why.
Yeah, and you've got to look at these things. People, I see so many people saying, "Oh, I'm 30 now. Is it worth me like retraining to do?" You've got 65, 35 years left of work minimum.
And I've had, and I know everybody's, you know, it's different for everybody, but I've had student nurses that are in their 60s. And do you know what? Hats off to you, absolute hats off to you, because I honestly believe that you can start again at any point. You really, really can, as long as the
Oh,
mindset's
yeah.
there.
My cousin left her teaching. She was a deputy head teacher. She left her teaching career of 25 years and went and trained to be a midwife. And she completed her training when she turned 50. And she's now a midwife.
Yes.
Now, we were all going, oh, jumping from the frying pan into the fire because my mum was a nurse. So we know the nursing system and what it takes. But she, you know, there's obviously the frustrations within that industry, but she just loves it because she's living a purpose. So yeah, she's gone in a diff in the opposite direction to what you're going in, but her kids are grown up now and she's going, well, I don't need to be at home for the kids anymore.
Yeah.
They're away, so I can do night shifts and I can be away more and I can do that. So she's gone the other way, and we're as a family, we're massively, massively proud of her.
But I remember, so Initially, I actually wanted to be a midwife. When I was like doing my A levels and deciding what I wanted to do, I actually thought about being a midwife over nurse. And but I was told that the entry requirements to get into midwifery, it was so hard. I think at the time, so I'm talking 15 years ago now, there was only like 20 places on a course, and they'd get hundreds, maybe even thousands of applications. So everybody said to me, be a nurse, like train as a nurse, and then do a top up in midwifery. But the one thing that I was told from a friend who is a midwife is they actually prefer people that are a little bit older, that have got life experience, rather than, like an 18-year-old that's just come in that's like, yeah, I want to deliver babies. Because it's not all about babies, is it? It's about looking after the mother and
It's not, but do you know what? I had when I had my children, I had lots of very long in the tooth midwives. They'd been there for years, they were mature, they had kids. Some of them didn't have kids. And then I had a student midwife who was very young, and she was the best thing ever. Oh my God, that girl
Oh.
literally rescued my birthing experience. She was just amazing. So I think, yes, like it's great to have experience. It's great as, when you're in labor and the person that's delivering your baby has never been in labor, it can be quite frustrating when
Yeah,
you're
I can
kind of going,
imagine.
you have no idea of this pain.
Yeah.
But actually, like she was, her way was just so brilliant. It, you know,
Yeah.
it really was amazing. It's really different going from being a nurse in the NHS within that kind of big machine to setting up your own business. And it's a very different lifestyle. How are you finding that shift? Because, it is hard to get the word out there on areolas because guess what? On Instagram, they don't like pictures of nipples because heaven
No.
forbid somebody should think something of a nipple.
Exactly. So what really frustrates me is Kim Kardashian can, and I'm calling her out, Kim Kardashian can lay around with next
Next to
to no
nothing
clothes
on.
on. People can have their bums out and XYZ, but I can't show a brave survivor of breast cancer who's done something amazing for herself and spread awareness. I don't get this. And I've got some other amazing friends in Australia, the Hardmans, shout out to the Hardmans, and they're a couple. She has breast cancer and her husband had testicular cancer, so they're doing something amazing together to try and spread awareness, showing people how to feel their breasts and things, and they're just constantly getting blocked. And it's like, we're trying to do something good. Why are you doing this?
Why as humans are we so ashamed of body parts? It's ridiculous. This
Our
is
bodies are our vessels, our breasts feed our young. What I don't understand. I really don't understand the issue.
as a 16-year-old student, I would sit drawing naked people for hours and hours.
There's meant to be something like psychological about that, isn't there? Like if you sit, I draw flowers a lot. I always have the, and eyes. It's meant to be a thing. But
Well,
yeah,
it's just part of our degree. You had to.
yeah.
We had a naked person stood in front of us, completely starkers, for hours on end, and we draw them.
Oh, I thought you meant you were like, I mean, I get you
No.
now. I thought you meant like you were sat at home doodling. I meant I sit at home doodling flowers and eyes, and you were just drawing naked people for the sake of it. Like, of course,
No.
that, oh, that's something psychological is going on there, but I won't dive into that. But
No, nothing
yeah.
psychological, just part of my course.
But like when you go to, I was fortunate enough to visit loads of countries last year. Every time you go traveling, the likes of like Italy and stuff like that, you go and look in their museums and look at their architecture. All of their statues and what have you, they're all topless. They've all got their willies out. They've all got, I don't know what I can say on here, willies
You can
out.
say what you want.
They've got their boobies out. What's the pro like? What's the problem?
It's weird.
I don't get it. I'm just trying to raise awareness. So, going on to how I met the lovely Ian that connected me with you, is I thought I need to think outside the box here, and I was almost ready for giving up. I was out working extra shifts to pay my overheads for basically for an empty room because I couldn't get people through the door because my Instagram page kept getting blocked. So I thought, what can I do? Right, go to a networking event. Do I really want to go to a networking event? Because what I do is so weird, people might look at me a bit odd. And I went to the first networking event that I went to. I happened to be sat next to Ian, which was like a
Gold.
complete godsend.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, and this he said to me, he was like, keep in touch with me, I'll help you. And I'm thinking, what's this man that sells wine gonna be able to do to help me? And let me tell you, the stuff that he has gone out of his way to put my name out there, I'm just proud to know him.
Yeah. We call him
He's
the e-introducer,
so
don't we?
incredible. Oh, he's honestly,
He's a genius.
he's just amazing. So yeah, thank you, Ian, because it's plugged us both together, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we were at his networking last night and he said, I think Emma's coming tonight. I think she's coming. But
I did voice note him at the day, well, at like 2 in the morning on my night shift yesterday, and I said, look, if I can wake up, I'll come. If I'm not there, like don't be upset with me, please.
yeah, no, and sometimes in business, some things have to give. And at the moment, you're still in this kind of transition period. But how are you feeling about sort of being out there when things don't get shadow banned, being out there on the socials and being visible?
Now I don't really care. I used to be so shy. So the period that I spoke about that I went through in October 2023, I actually deleted all of my social media, like personal social media. I didn't want anyone to see what I was doing. I just wanted to hide away. And then I decided with the business to have a whole rebrand. And I went from being like this nurse that was educating people about boobs and scar tissue and whatever, to this lady doing my marketing and saying, what is it that's unique about you? Tell me more about you. And I sort of said, like, I love oracle cards, I love crystals, I love spirituality, I love the universe, I love the moon. And she was like, right, well, we need to put that on your page. And I'm thinking, eh, how is this going to fit? And now I am more confident than ever just being me online. I'm sharing some of my deepest poetry that I wrote through the darkest times of my life online. I can't even tell you. I just feel for the, like, honestly, for the first time in 31 years, I feel like I am living as my authentic self and doing little me proud. And yeah, it's such a nice place to be in.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you mentioned your spiritual awakening. As you know, we've talked about it. I'm a Reiki master. I love crystals. I love all of that stuff. And for some people, that's really, really off-putting. And for other people,
No.
it's great. So it is about who is your audience. And for you, your audience really is people who have had cancer and or other things or transitions or whatever it is and want to change their bodies. And they will come to you regardless of whether they like crystals or not because of your skill. But there will be other people that will come to you because of the other stuff
Yeah,
too.
like I do little oracle card pulls at my appointments and stuff, and everyone seems to love it. But at the same time as well, whether it's even just for the fine line tattoo, and the one thing that I have learned in business for the very minimal business brains that I clearly don't own,
Yet.
is if you're yet, I will get there, is that if you're not, if you unfollow me, that's absolutely fine, because you weren't ever going to buy from me anyway. You weren't ever going to purchase or donate or do anything anyway. So I'm not offended. That's fine. I'm not for you, but there'll be somebody for you, and there'll be other people that are for me. And that's absolutely fine.
So I will put all your socials in the show notes so people can come and follow you and find you. Tell us about some of the challenges about creating a realistic sort of 3D areola tattoo.
So think about it this way, is ladies and gentlemen have had their lumps and bumps diced and sliced. So there's a lot of scar tissue there, which can be incredibly hard to work on. So if I'm tattoo, even just think of it this way, a tattoo on somebody who's got older skin compared to somebody with young skin, then a normal conventional tattoo is going to look different, right? because the skin's different, everything heals different. When you're working on complex scar tissue, which it might have been that they've, not to get too technical for everybody, that they've removed some skin or, some skin or flesh from the tummy area and then put it back over the breast, or whether they've just completely had everything removed, it's all different and everybody heals different. So it's very much about assessing the skin, knowing how deep you can put the needle, knowing what pigments are going to work, and also just giving the correct aftercare as well, and knowing that somebody is going to look after the tattoo.
Yeah, because that is important.
100% is so that you get that beautiful healed result.
Yeah. When people like I think everybody who's listening today will get a sense that this is an easy question to answer, really, but people coming for transitioning, people coming because they've had breasts removed and all of that sort of things, they're very vulnerable. So how do you make them feel safe and secure?
I say this in the most modest of ways, but there's one thing that I think that I've got, and I think I got it from my mum, is I think I have a way of talking to people and understanding people and talking to them on their level. So for me, I've been a nurse for a very, very long time, and you can imagine working on a high dependency unit through COVID, how many extremely difficult conversations I've had with patients and family members. You can only imagine. And I feel that because I've got that skill, there are other people that do areola tattooing across the UK and worldwide, but because I've got that understanding of empathy, which I think you need to possess that quality anyway, ideally, to be a nurse, I feel I've got the communication skills in order to make somebody feel at ease. So whether it's something as little as, like, I'll always make somebody a brew. I am from Yorkshire and I make the best brew going. I will always make sure that I've got in drink the drink of choice for whoever I've got coming through the door. And I will always make sure that I've got music on if you want music. I feel this is going to sound like the craziest thing that I've ever said, and I was going to
I
tell
doubt
people on
it.
Instagram, but I actually tattooed my own nipples.
Oh,
So
cool.
don't think I'm crazy. I don't mean like I've put flowers and stuff all over them. I actually put the pig my own pigments on my own nipples and tattooed myself in front of the mirror. So I did one on one side with no numbing cream and one without, so that I could empathize with how somebody felt being sat in a vulnerable state. I know it's not exactly the same, but at least I could tell somebody what the pain may feel like. I could tell somebody what the healing felt like. And I'm not going to lie, there's been many occasions where I've actually just shown my breasts to my clients to just say, this is what it's gonna look like. Which
Well,
it might
why
sound
wouldn't you?
crazy, but yeah, it might sound crazy, but it's something that I've always done as a nurse as well. Whether I'm giving somebody an injection or this, and this, I'm like, oh yeah, I've had this one before, and yeah, it does sting, and you'll probably feel like this for X, Y, and Z. But I just think it's good to be able to really show somebody that you've got some form of understanding of what they're going through.
Do you feel you've enhanced your nipples?
Yeah.
Are you quite proud of them?
I'm not going to get them out, but yeah.
I
I am. I did. Yeah.
and I also think you've made such a good point with this inadvertently, is actually we're talking about the serious stuff, the cancers and the transitions and all serious stuff, but I know there are a lot of women who really don't like their nipples.
Yeah.
And as part of a cosmetic thing, they want to change them because they don't feel that confident when they take their bras off.
Yeah, and that is something
I've
that
got awesome nipples. I'm going to say it. I've got awesome ones. I'm really proud of them. They're good nipples. But I can really imagine that if I didn't, it would feel awkward.
So I actually had a lady in that she came to me in October and then December, and she was basically, I don't think she'd ever seen much of what other women's breasts look like. So when she got a breast, she came to me for no medical reason. It was completely cosmetic. She said to me, "I want you to give me the pinkest nipples that you can give me." And I'm thinking, "What do you mean the pinkest nipples? Nipples aren't, they're not pink. When you see
No.
actually pink." And so she showed me this picture on her phone, and I think of Barbie times a thousand, like Barbie bright pink. And I said to her, I said, "That is an enhanced picture. I said, that is not real. Where have you found this?" And I don't know if it's because, I don't know, of society saying that we should look a certain way, and just to put it out there, the way that women look in porn because they've had this enhancement done and that enhancement done and everything looks perfect and filtered. She genuinely believed, and she wasn't much older than me, she genuinely believed that like women had bright pink nipples. So I showed her mine, and funnily enough, it was before I'd
Daniels.
before I'd done mine, and then she's seen them now since. And she sort of looked at me. I took my top off. Obviously, I didn't just do it randomly. I said, "Do you know what? I'm going to show you my boobs." And she was like, "Yeah, go on then." And she went, "Oh." She said, "I just didn't expect," and I didn't know ever to be offended. She said, "I just didn't expect them to look like that." She said, "I thought they'd be much pinker." I'm like, "No, not at all. Not
That's
at all." But honestly, if you look
so
at
interesting.
the pink behind you on your logo, think of that. That was like the color picture that she'd sent me. I was like that she'd shown me,
So it's
and I
like
was like,
magenta.
"What?" I said, "No." I said, "Absolutely not at all." And now she has got the most beautiful nipple blush now. It's lovely. But yeah, I just can't get over
I think,
how
I mean, a
it.
completely different conversation. It's the same conversation, but nothing to do with boobs. But I've had conversations with partners, male partners, who we talk about penis size. Trying to work out how I was going to say that. Oh, we'll use the penis word, penis size. And I'll be like, they're, and I was thinking about this in the swimming pool this morning. Don't ask me why, but this exact conversation was in the swimming pool. So it's obviously supposed to be on the podcast in my head, where they were going, I was like, no, you're really big, like really big. For me, that's not my preference. I was like,
No.
it was in not
Enjoyable.
particularly comfortable. And they were like, oh, what? I didn't realize, I had no idea. And then I was talking to Matt about it, and we were, I was saying it's so interesting to me how all the men I have been with have not really had any concept of what a penis size actually is. And Matt said, well, we don't, I know we're all in urinals and stuff, but we don't stand staring at the bloke next door's penis size. And I thought that was really interesting because I think we think that men do see that stuff and do kind of
No, they don't.
whack it around, but actually they don't. So their only kind of benchmark of what it is actually like is from the women that they meet. And of course, the women that they meet all have their own benchmark of what a penis size should be and whether it's big or small or medium or whatever it is. And I just, for me, it was a really interesting conversation and quite weird that I had that thought in my head in the swimming pool this morning.
Let's just put it out there that there's nothing nice about a big penis. There you go. You've heard it live and direct.
Yeah, but for all those men that perhaps are big as well, there are things you can do if your partner's feeling uncomfortable. So don't feel bad about that either. Because I think with it's the same with boobs. Everybody assumes women want big boobs, but then you've got the women with really big boobs and they hate it. So it goes in all different directions.
Quite literally, this has taken a turn. I'm not that it matters, but isn't it fun?
I told you it would.
Yeah,
Said to Emma, we're just going to have a chat. I've got all these questions, might not ask any of them. I have asked a few of them.
okay.
But yeah, it often goes random on this podcast. What misconceptions do people have about medical tattooing?
I think probably that we're all permanent makeup artists. Like the ladies that I often get asked, oh, do you do lips and do you do eyebrows and do you do tattooing this? And it's like, no, I'm an actual medical grade tattooer. I'm not here to put your lips on and your eyebrows. It's completely different. It's a completely different skill. It's a completely different machine that I use. But yeah, there's a lot of misconception that I'm a permanent makeup artist,
That's
and
brilliant to know because that's
I'm not.
something that I would have possibly asked to.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not something, I'm not saying it's something that I wouldn't do, but it is completely like the needles that you use, the actual machine itself that you use, the depth of how far you're going into the skin. And obviously a lot of the medical tattooing that I do, it's going into scar tissue. It's not normal skin that you're going into. So it's a completely different skill altogether.
What would you say to the tattoo artist that's listening to this podcast and they're thinking, oh, I really quite fancy doing that, but and they are a tattoo artist. What would you suggest that they went and did?
Do research first. Do your research first. Is there another artist already in your area that's doing this? Is there a market in your area for doing this? If there is already another artist, I know that I'm just being blatantly honest because it's very hard to market. It's expensive. I sound like I'm putting people off here, but
No, but that's
I'm
good
just
though.
being very honest.
That's
It's an
good because
amazing thing to
that's what they need
do.
to hear because there will be people that go, oh, yeah, I can just do that because I'm a tattoo artist. So I'll just go and do that. But you've just said it's a very different skill set, it's a different training.
Completely. Everything is different. Well, not necessarily the needles and stuff that you use for normal, like conventional tattoo, but being able to assess scar tissue. Don't get me wrong, it's like the overall concept of doing it is beautiful, and it is honestly like the best thing to be able to do, to give back to people and give that back, give that confidence back to somebody. But it isn't just as easy as, oh well, I can tattoo so I can tattoo nipples. It's not as easy as that. And you've got to think of, like I say, these men and women that are in vulnerable states when they have this done. It's not a normal chirpy person that's coming in for a normal tattoo. But at the same time, if you're really interested in doing it, I would definitely say do your research, because there are people globally that do the training for this. And I have spent a lot of money doing it. Research the right people, and you're more than what, like, if anybody is interested, you're more than welcome to message me, and I can tell you who I've done my training with, the different people that I've been to, and give you some more tips, really.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. I'll put obviously all your information is going to be in the show notes. What are your long-term goals for the business?
Oh, so I won't share everything because I'm one of these people that I've got so much in the pipeline. It's for the next few months, it's unreal. But I don't speak on things unless it's set in stone until it's done. But I want to get this treatment available on the NHS. That's long-term goal. That's before I die goal. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I'm not saying I'm going to be able to get it absolutely everywhere on the NHS, but not just the scar camouflage, but the areola tattooing. I feel like it should be an optional treatment post-mastectomy. So that is my, I'll share that goal with you.
Yeah, that's an awesome goal because it should be available. I think there's not a lot of aftercare
No, and not just, and not, like I say,
psychologically.
yeah, not just the like aesthetic aftercare, but the actual, like you say, emotional and mental support post-trauma for anything, whether that be mastectomy or tracheostomy or anything.
Yeah. What else would you like to talk about today?
I want to know about when did you have your spiritual awakening?
Ha.
I always love this question.
So for me, I think it was after my first daughter and before my second daughter. So when I, after my first daughter, I had postnatal depression. And before I had my second daughter, I thought, well, I don't want to do that again. So I sort of, my old boss, she wasn't old, but it was a long time ago, said to me, her first delivery of her child was terrible. And she said, the second time I went and did hypnobirthing, it made all the difference. Like, had a really powerful experience. So I would recommend you go and try it. So I was living in Dumfries and Galloway at this point on the south of Scotland. And there's not that much many hypnobirthing classes around there. But I was talking to my breastfeeding counselor, and she said, oh, well, there's this hypnotherapist who I think might work in these sorts of areas. So I messaged him, and that ended up being a 20-week program with him of hypnotherapy, NLP. And in with that, his wife at the time was very spiritual, and she was a Reiki master and did like all angel healing and all sorts of stuff. So part of my 20-week program was a Reiki session with her. So I'm lying on this Reiki bed for the first time ever, and she was amazing. My experience was amazing, and she was like, "Oh, there's somebody watching you. There's like a lady here. She's watching over you." And after I had the treatment, I went home and I slept for about 14 hours. And by this point, I had had my daughter. So my mum was literally sticking my daughter on the breast as I was still sleeping on the couch, because I literally couldn't wake up. I was just completely and utterly out of it. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. So Jane said, I think you should do some training in Reiki. Do your Reiki one, and then you can give yourself Reiki. So I was like, okay, I'll come and do my Reiki one. So I did that, and I really loved it. But what was happening, we had to practice every night. So every night I would lay in my bed, or no, we had to practice every day. So we had to give ourselves a Reiki treatment every day. So I'd lie in bed and I'd start at my head and I'd do all my chakras, and I'd get to about the middle and I'd fall asleep. And after about a week, I was an absolute lunatic. I couldn't stand up straight. I kept walking into things. I couldn't remember anything. It was mad. So I contacted Jane and I said, explain what happened. And she said, okay, so explain the process of giving yourself Reiki. So I told her I'm starting at the head. And she went, okay, so you're just basically working on all your head space, like universal chakras, and you're not doing any grounding work, which is in your feet. So she said, if you're not grounding yourself, your brain is going to be literally exploding. Because the universe, like you're doing all your universe head angel, like ethereal stuff, and not doing any grounding work. So she said, start one night, start on your head, the next night, start on your feet. So I did that, and all of a sudden, like everything went into balance again. I'm like, huh? I like logical explanations for things. I'm not very good with the lack of logical explanation. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then there was points where the car started electrocuting me every day. And I said to her, oh, the car keeps electrocuting me. And she said, just say to the car, thank you, you got the message, but you can stop doing it now. So I'm stood at my car going, thanks, car. Got the message about this energy stuff. Can you stop doing that now? And it never happened again. And I was like, what the heck is going on? So that was kind of my first dip into that sort of world. And I really loved Jane. She was amazing. So I then did my Reiki 2, and I eventually did my Reiki master training, not that maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I don't particularly enjoy
I remember you saying
doing
you
Reiki. I
get
find it a
bored.
bit boring because it means I can't talk and I've got to like be really quiet and still. Not very, my ADHD brain does not do that. So, but my clients, friends, and family that I have done it with always get really, really quite amazing results. And I had one client who came to me and we did the treatment, and around her neck, she had a gold necklace and it got really, really, really hot. And afterwards, I said to her, "Oh, it was really hot around your neck area." And she went, "Yeah, I know, it was really weird. This is the first time I've worn this necklace that was my mum's since she died." So there's
Wow.
lots of things that I can't explain that have happened. And yeah, so that just got me interested. Jane was very much about crystals, and it just got me interested in crystals. I really love having them around. My daughter really loves crystals and thing. And I just think it's like, I know so many people that think it's a whole load of rubbish, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It's the same with religion. Lots of people get a lot from religion, and lots of people think it's a load of rubbish. But for me, if you get great energy from something, whether it's a crystal or whether it's believing in God, it doesn't matter.
What's the problem? Yeah,
You're just
absolutely.
getting great energy from it. So I think spirituality, I am in church a lot, even though I'm not particularly religious. I'm in church because I ring the bells in church. And some of the traditional churchgoers get quite upset because I don't stay for service. It's not my thing. But I will sit in church on my own and have thoughtful moments in church.
Oh, that's lovely.
Not because I'm particularly religious or follow a God, but because I am spiritual and believe in the universe and believe in energy. And to me, a lot of
Yeah.
those buildings have so much history and great space of energy.
No, oh, I absolutely love that because I've been questioned before. So I am born Christian, and I often do get, well, how does that tie in with crystals, the universe, and manifestation? I'm like, I believe in my own little thing, and that's not a problem. I'm not harming you, so that's fine. Same with the crystals. When people think that it's absolutely nuts, that's fine. I'm not asking you to play with the crystals or carry the crystals, but I just think, you know how each of the crystals have got their own little property? Like, I've got them in my bra now. I'll pick what I think I need for the day, and I'll carry them with me in my purse or my bra. And if that little crystal in my bra or my pocket, if I think it's going to give me protection for the day,
And
that's
it will.
fine. Who am I hurting? Yeah.
And the other thing that interests me is, with all of this, is that actually, if you are a believer in God, then God created crystals.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't God have created crystals that humans can use to help themselves with healing or spirituality or any of those things? Like, why wouldn't a God do that?
Yeah.
That to me makes no sense. So, the people that are very church going and deep believers in God, I mean, we had the most incredible vicar at our church. He sadly left last year, but to me, he was just the greatest balance of realism and
Oh.
religion. And he made me want to go to church more because he had a 2024 view of what religion
I
and
love
life
that.
is. And I think that's great. But there's so many. I was speaking to someone recently who can't get married in their local church, even though they're the churchgoer, because they're gay and the vicar won't marry them. And I was there thinking, what century are we living in now? And how does that work in our society? Somebody who is an active member of the church. And, so I think there's a lot of things that we put in barrier wise to spirituality, to acceptance, to the universe that is not necessary.
No, I agree. But we won't get me started on gay rights and things because I will. Don't get me started. No, I'm with you on that one.
Well, I did a great podcast episode last year with my friend Saski, who is she does all the LGBTQAI plus. I've been practicing that. Stuff in London for Pride and stuff. So that's a great episode. Hearing, how about how we learn to accept pronouns and genders and differences. It's really interesting.
I will have to give it a listen.
There's lots of people that will go, "Oh, why do we have to bother with all of that stuff?" Well, actually, you don't have to bother. Somebody tells you something, you accept it, and
That's it.
that's it. End of the conversation.
No, I totally agree. We've definitely had to get really don't know if the right word is involved in that, especially as the NHS and getting things right.
I think there's still a long way to go.
100%, as there is with the areola
Yes. So if you
tattooing.
could change one thing about now, the question says, if you could change one thing about the healthcare or society approaches post-surgery recovery, what would it be? I don't know if that's the right answer because I think you've sort of answered that. But answer that, and then I want to hear, what would you change in the world at the moment?
So,
Big question.
with regards to what would I change in healthcare and society, post-surgical recovery, obviously I would offer scar and areola treatments, but it would be that a patient is not a number and a bed.
Yeah.
Even in the years that I have been a nurse, every single year it changes. And like the politics within nursing and in healthcare change every single year. And the one thing that I will never derive from is the fact that I will only care for people the way that I would want my mum, dad, grandma, granddad to be looked after. So I get very angry when that's not the case. And everything's just getting a bit stricter and it's not great. So moving on to your second question, which was, what would I change in the world? What would I change in the world right now? I'm not going to ask for world peace. Oh. What would I change in that? That's like quite deep, you
It's
know.
very, very, very big question.
It's very deep. Probably that people would be just probably more that people would be more accepting and understanding of others. So I'm not saying that I've always been this way because I haven't. I've done a lot of growth. I have done so much, so much growing up. I've had to. But now, if somebody's going through something or somebody annoys me or something bugs me, I actually flip reverse it now and think, do you know what? I don't know what that person's going through. I don't know what they've got going on at home, whatever. And I try and flip reverse it, which I know sometimes it's not the best thing to do because you end up just being a bit of a mug. But if people could just be a bit more understanding of other people, that we are all just human and we make mistakes, really.
I completely agree. That's my policy. And I don't think it necessarily makes you a mug. It just makes you have those thoughts and you have boundaries. So they're not mutually exclusive. So it's about being able to have those thoughts. And though, so I, for example, when the kids come home and their so-called friends have not been very nice to them, I can be empathetic towards that friend. Does that mean that I will freely accept them back into my house after they've caused, like, been really, really, really horrible? No, not necessarily. Something would have to happen for that to then be the case. I can be accepting of their situation and I can speak to my kids about their situation and why they may feel the way they feel, but that doesn't mean that they have to then go back and be friends with them, or I have to welcome them back into a friendship circle with open arms.
Yeah, that's a really good example, actually. Yeah, I like that.
So, yes, I think it's really important that we look at everybody and go, okay, so what was going on for them? There might be something that we don't know about, but that doesn't mean to say necessarily that their behavior was okay. It just means that we understand that there might be something that's created that.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like that.
So Emma, we're at the end of this conversation. We've had an amazing conversation. I know we are going to be in contact a lot and we're going to have lots of future conversations. But the last question that I'm going to be asking everyone this year for our end of year Christmas compilation is, if you could have one moment in your life to relive exactly as it happened, which would it be and why?
Can already feel myself tearing up because my grandma's sat here looking at me as well, funnily enough. It would be going back to my grandma when she was alive, pre Alzheimer's, laying in bed together and singing Que Sera, Sera. Yeah, before she like lost her memory and things like that, that would be. I even remember being like, 21, 22, and having a sleepover at my grandma's house and still getting in bed with her. And then we sang Que Sera, Sera, and she says, come here. She says, oh, she says, you're never too old for a cuddle with your grandma.
Oh, you're
And yeah,
not.
I'd give anything to go back to that. So yeah, right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
When I thought of this question, it didn't occur to me how deep the answers were going to be, which was very naive of me. Because that you're the second, it's the second answer of the year, and it's the second time that I feel tears. I don't cry very much. So it's yes, I think this question is going to be one that at the end of the year is going to have so many profound answers. And so many, like when you said that, it took me back to being with my grandma. I was close to both of my grandmas, even though one was in Canada. And I think we can all kind of relate to those people who we can have those relationships with.
Grandmas are the best, aren't they, though? Because you can
They
get
are.
away with murder.
Well, not with mine, you could. Mine were fairly sturdy women, but
Oh.
they were amazing and had fabulous stories. But yeah, no, we generally couldn't get away with everything with them. But they were amazing, and I think everybody will be thinking back to the moments with their special people, whether it's grandparents or aunts or whoever, and remembering special day from your answer. So thank you for that.
Oh, same. Thank you.
I have just remembered the question that I couldn't remember, and it's something that it came up earlier, and I thought, oh, I'll ask that, and then I didn't. Did you always draw when you were at school?
Yeah, I've always, and I think it's an ADHD thing. I'm sat here now and I thought I can't be unprofessional. I've got my iPad. I was actually going to sit here and doodle while I was talking to
Well,
you.
that
Yeah.
would have been okay. I've got my
I'm always touching something
my
up,
fidget
Heather.
ball, and unfortunately it burst while we were talking, so I am covered.
Oh
I'm literally covered in glue.
no. Oh.
So because I drive Matt nuts when we're doing our podcast together, because I'm always fidgeting with pens and stuff. So my
Yeah.
daughter bought me this in our brand pink to play with while I'm doing
Oh, now you've booked
podcasts.
it.
Because I can't keep my hand still. So you could absolutely have doodled all the way through.
Oh,
That would have been
it's
fine.
okay. I've been fine. I've really enjoyed it anyway, but yeah, I've
It's been really
always.
wonderful to get to know you a bit better and have you on, and I know we'll be in touch.
No, definitely. I'll be less busy soon in the work sense, not the business sense.
You'll be less busy with the NHS and much more busy with tattooing
Business.
areolas. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, listeners, that was a pretty profound episode, I would say. And I'm going to finish off with saying what I always say to you. Remember to have a powerful day, whatever having a powerful day means to you. And that might mean that you've had surgery, like we've talked about today, or you know somebody who has, and you maybe want to and improve how you feel about yourself with areola tattooing or any of the other things that we've talked about. You know, if you've been self-harming and you don't like your scars and they remind you of times, then there are things that you can do about it. So go and have that powerful day, whatever that means for you.
Oh, that's lovely.
Thanks, Emma.
No, thank you, thank you.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes. I hope you get a lot out of the podcast and from listening to it, but please do not use it as a replacement for a professional psychotherapist or GP. If you need some professional help, please go and seek that. Do not use this podcast as an alternative to that. If you need a coach, you know where I am. If you need a coach in a different area of your life that I don't support, then please go and find them. There are many great coaches out there. Make sure that they are accredited coaches with proper training.